Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy, a careers consultant here in DCU Career Service. As part of our series on making the most of your summer, I am joined by Emer Fox, who is a final year economics, politics and law student. And she's going to share with us what she did in the summer of 2020 and hopefully give us people some ideas about what might they like to do this summer. So first of all, thank you so much for agreeing to do the episode with us, Emer. And maybe you might tell us, what did you do last summer?
Thanks, Siobhan. I'm really glad to be here. To answer your question, I did a lot last summer. You know, as many students like myself, I did have a part-time job over the summer. I was working as a barista in Avoca in the local cafe down the road from me. But apart from that, I decided last summer, after I had plans cancelled with COVID, that I wasn't going to let the summer pass me by. I was going to make the most of it. And to be honest, I really think I did that, and I did it really well. Any day off that I had, I did something with it, be it go for a walk or see a friend or anything of the like, or be it go down the country or take a day trip somewhere. I never let my time pass me by. I never, you know, as they say, wasted my time.
So share with us, where did you go and what trips did you do, and what would you recommend somebody to do this summer then, based on what you did last summer?
I'd say really, like, just if you want to do something, just do it. You know, you can always say, oh, I don't want to, you know, I've nobody to go with, or the weather's not good and things like that. But like, if you let little things like that set you back, you won't do anything. So like things like even small things, like I used to go sea swimming a lot, even like if it was rainy or if it's cloudy, you know, even by myself, not with my friends, things like that. Go for walks, enjoy a good playlist, you know, have time to yourself, but at the same time, have a great time with your friends as well. Like there are places like the Guinness Storehouse that I went. I went to the Sunflower Field that's in Wicklow.
Tell me more about the Sunflower. No, I haven't heard of that now.
Yeah, there's a family called the Tyner family, I think they're called, in Wicklow. And each summer they plant an entire field of sunflowers.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing. When do they come out now? What time of the year is that now?
I think it was August we went.
Mm-hmm.
They have about a flowering season of, I think, about 3 weeks to a month.
Okay.
And you're allowed to cut as many as you like and take them home. You're allowed to take pictures, anything you like. And they just ask you to donate to the charity box that they have there. Wow. For cancer. It's in memory of their mother, I think.
Wow, that's fantastic, isn't it? That's very unusual now. And a simple day out at the same time.
Really, really nice. And like, even I went with my friend Hannah at the time. And, you know, it was really nice day. We drove through the country. We had a little picnic. And we went to the sunflower field, cut some sunflowers, took them home for our moms and our grannies. And it was one day, but it was such a nice day. There were other things that I did, like go to the Stairway of Heaven in Fermanagh. Really recommend, gorgeous hike.
So tell me a bit more about that. Where do you start off on that?
So I actually called into my friend in Longford, and then we headed up to Fermanagh. So, I'm trying to think where it is. Well, it is
It's in Fermanagh. Google it, Siobhan. Yeah. Google it. Yeah.
I know, yeah. So we just decided we'd head up. I took some food with us, like a little picnic. And then you pull into the spot, you pay to park, and then you head up on the hike. And it's really, really nice. It's through like ferns and bogland.
And how long was that now?
I'd say it took us probably about a 3 hour round trip.
Lovely.
From the car park up to the top and then back down. But at the top, there's like a viewing platform, and it's absolutely gorgeous out across all the land in front of you. Really, really nice.
Beautiful. I'd never heard of that, actually.
Yeah, no, gorgeous. Really, really recommend. Even if you have to go out of your way to it, it is a really nice thing to do.
Brilliant. So what else?
Other things, like I went to Clifton with my mom for a couple of days. And we just drove up, we just booked a little place to stay. And like the place that we booked had a little bike. So I took that out and was cycling around Clifton and the peninsulas and things like that, which was really nice. I also took a day trip on a different week up to Galway to see a friend, you know, and like somebody told me I was mad getting the train up one day and back down the very same day, but she was there, I had a day off, why wouldn't I?
Brilliant.
You know, it was like a 20 euro round ticket, you know, I was like, why not?
Well, it might have been a long day, but I mean, it was a good long day.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. You know, we just sat in the canal, we got a sandwich, we were chatting, hadn't seen her in months, had a nice catch up. And, you know, I was tired the next day in work, but it was worth it.
And how did you find, you know, because in fairness, you refer there to family and you refer there to friends. How did you manage, you know, the friends, family connection? Last summer, you know, did you have to go out about things differently, or how do you feel about it now? Are they strengthened or weakened by the process?
So I was really good with keeping in contact with my family and my friends. My mum is actually immunocompromised, so we were living separately for the summer. So we went to Clifton together at the end of the summer when I finished working.
That was tough then, wasn't it, being separated from your mum?
It was, yeah, but me and mum have like a very good relationship. Mm-hmm. So we were totally fine. We were FaceTiming all the time. So likely we weren't apart.
Yes.
And then with my friends, you know, I think visiting them and making the effort to go see each other really helped. But otherwise, just, you know, just checking in with each other, just being like, you know, I saw this funny thing about you that I thought you'd like, you know, it relates to you. Little things like that. Mm-hmm. Just letting each other know that you're still there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like to me that, you know, you recognise that whilst it was not hardship, it did require a little bit of effort, and that effort paid back a thousandfold. You know, you got a lot more, you got a lot for your small efforts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, like, you know, when you show that you're willing to make the effort, others are too.
Yeah. Yeah, and everyone starts thinking and dreaming up some ideas about going on a day trip or doing anything like that. And just going back to your work as the barista in Avoca, obviously you would have had to do a lot of COVID restriction, you know, kind of, you know, be careful about how you work. How did you find working in that, you know, kind of more regulated environment, I suppose, you know, when a lot of rules and things like that, you know, how did you find that working environment?
It was definitely, I'd say, a change when I came back. There was a lot of things that had changed about how they ran the business, with regards to, you know, the separation of tables and like the limiting of numbers and things like that in the cafe. But it was doable, you know. It did take a little, you know, a couple of days maybe to adjust, but like I think everyone as a team, we work really well together in the cafe, and with everyone working together, everyone wanted it to work. So we made it work.
Yeah, and I think that's the key thing. Everyone wanted it to work. So therefore
it did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I suppose anything around hospitality, it's very team orientated, and it does require everyone pulling in the right direction, the same direction, you know, and the same and the right direction, you know, especially when you've been a restricted, I suppose, practices, I suppose, and just not the kind of the free flow that you had experienced, because you've had that job for a while and you knew the experience of working there pre-COVID. So there was a lot of changes then.
Yeah, definitely. There was a lot of things that, like, say we'd have to relearn. You know, you couldn't do it the way you used to do it, so you have to do it this way now. But I think everyone was open to learning, and like I said, like, we really did want it to work. So we all made the effort.
Mm-hmm. And you referred to earlier in the conversation about that your plans were cancelled for last summer. So can you speak a little bit about what were your plans for last summer and how things had to change for you then?
Yeah, of course. So last summer, pre-COVID, I actually, maybe the week before COVID restrictions came into place, I just paid to go with USIT to work in a summer camp in America.
Oh, wow.
And the day restrictions were announced, I was actually meant to have my interview for the camp that I was meant to work at. So unfortunately, with the restrictions and everything, my trip was cancelled, and USIT actually have folded since. But like, that was a plan that I had, and I also had plans, you know, further on in the year. But I was very sad and bitter when things cancelled. But I think I kind of had a notion that I was like, you can't be sad forever. You know, you can acknowledge that this is not the greatest thing to ever happen. But I learned to be adaptable. I really think that's what last summer taught me. You know, you can have things cancelled and you can have things not go the way you want, but you have to just adapt to the life that you're living now.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say that with great resilience now, but, you know, I'm sure some of those days you didn't really feel that good about it.
Yeah, no, to be honest, like, there were definitely days that I felt really crap and I kind of was like, you know, why is this happening? These are the best days of my year, you know, the best days of my life. They're watching me walk away, you know, all of this. But I think they're like, if you spend your life wishing your life away, you won't live anything. You know, I think like when you realize what a situation is and you're like, okay, this is what it is. I can't do that anymore. If you're willing to then say, what can I do now? You can change your perspective on it.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned so many exciting things that you did, or you could see the excitement in the simplicity of some of the things that you did. And I think for most of us, if not all of us, we have seen the beauty in the simplicity as well. And we've, I suppose, learned to notice, I suppose, that family, friends, connections, our own areas, our own lovely island, you know, our own counties, our own 5Ks, that there is a lot to be, there's a lot to be seen. I was only up walking at lunchtime today up my own lane, and I took a lovely picture of the primroses, you know, things like that, that you kind of notice, you know, a little bit more closely the value and the beauty that is around us as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just I for you, like, sorry, go ahead, Emer. Sorry, I interrupted you there.
That's okay. Sorry, I was just going to say, you know, I think if you can enjoy the little things, it makes enjoying the bigger things like even bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. It's even magnified.
Yeah, definitely.
And just thinking about the summer ahead, last summer, Boston, and it didn't happen. So are you making plans at the moment, or what's your thoughts about this summer, Aoife? Or Emer, sorry, Aoife. Jim, I've given you a new name. Sorry about that, Emer. Oh, everyone in the office will groan at me because I do this quite frequently. Sorry.
So, like, I used to be very plan orientated. You know, I love to have a plan months in advance. And it's funny, come this time around this summer, I don't really have a set plan. I have applied for some internships and I was hoping to go away with my friend for a group holiday and things like that. But you know, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. You know, it won't be the end of the world. I'll think of something, you know.
So like, what? Be it, yeah, go ahead.
You know, I was going to say, be it continue to work in my part-time job in Avoca, or be it take some time off, maybe do some volunteering, or be it, you know, maybe just go on a few more day trips and things like that. Mm. But whatever it is, I won't be wasting my days off.
So what I'm hearing from you is, yes, you don't have any certainty around your plans. You are planning things and you're leaving things loose, that you're not, you know, you're not paralyzed by the uncertainty. You are making plans, but you're leaving it much more open to the concept that, you know, it may or may not happen.
Yeah, definitely. I think like last summer has taught me that, you know, things come up that you don't plan, but that's just how life is. And, you know, if the things that I'm hoping to do this summer don't happen, that's okay. It's not the end of the world.
Other opportunities will arrive and you'll make the best of them then from that. You, when we were speaking before the show, you were saying that even your approach to this academic year has been shaped by your last summer. So could you maybe talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing that like last summer has taught me definitely is that your life is what you make it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can let your life pass you by and that's your choice, but you can choose to make it what you want. And I think what last summer taught me and encouraged me to do for this academic year was to get involved and don't let things pass me by. And, you know, you hear people preach about this, but you don't actually, you know, you don't necessarily believe it until you do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I know this year I didn't really do anything last academic year. You know, I just, you know, you kind of just, you go out sometimes, do a bit of study. But this this year, I definitely like gotten more involved. I joined committees. I took up new languages, participating in loads of different programs and things like that. And it's been really good. I think last year has definitely taught me to carry through on, you know, getting involved and doing what you want and making your life what you want it to be.
So you're actually saying that you actually got more involved in the life of DCU remotely than you had done the previous year when you were actually on campus.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so interesting. So do you mind actually sharing with us maybe some of the things that you were, you did get involved with then this academic year?
Yeah, no problem. So I actually was supposed to be away this year, but I'm here now. So I hadn't applied for a lot of things that say the deadlines had passed when academic year started. But when opportunities came up, I decided I would, you know, jump on them. Mm-hmm. So I joined the subcommittee of snow sports. Okay. I am on the main committee. Yeah, of snow sports. So I'm on the main committee of ESN DCOC Ordinary Member now as well. I'm currently participating in the Pathways to Success program. I participated in the digital skills program with DC One Future Learn. I've also taken up learning French and Spanish in my spare time, you know, just to sprinkle some more work on top of my final year load. And yeah, I'm generally just getting involved and doing things that I want to do and making the most of it.
Tell me about the languages thing, because in fairness, Emer, it's one of those things that I think everyone understands the value of languages, but like that, we don't always move from the theory to the action. So what have you been doing, you know, in your approach to that? Did you study either of Spanish or French when you're in secondary school and you're powering on from there, or is any of them brand new to you?
So I did Spanish up to my leaving cert in secondary school, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I was an okay student. I was pretty average. But since my leaving cert, I really let it slip, and, you know, it had really, you know, it was such a waste, in my opinion, to let my language go so poorly. So I'm hoping to maybe work in the EU someday. And with that, you really need languages to do that. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, French or German, along with another language. So I participated in the DCU mentorship program last year with a wonderful woman called Emer Neve-Vereen as my mentor.
Oh, you had Emer. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Such a nice woman. So, so amazing. And she really opened my eyes to, you know, the things that you need to do, and, you know, particularly languages, actually. Mm. She really emphasized that you need languages to work in the EU. So she really encouraged me to pick up my language and look after it and, like, grow it. So I didn't really do anything last academic year about it, but I decided this year that I was going to. So I've been doing an online Spanish course once a week, on a Thursday evening, actually, for 2 hours. Wow. And they give you, you know, things to do during the week to, you know, do more work on it and things like that. And then I've also taken up French as well, which I've never spoken French. So it's a little bit more of a struggle, but I'm really liking it. And it's the same. I do 2 hours a week on that and do little things in between. And yeah, like, you know, why not do it now? You know, why do you have to wait until you're finished college? Why do you have to wait until you're at a job? Like, do what you want and do it now.
So really what you're really actually, I suppose, getting across, don't postpone living.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no need to. There is just angles, there's nooks and crannies, there's back doorway into things, you can tunnel underneath the patio. There's just different approaches. We just have to look at it differently. You know, like, it is, there is problems, there's barriers. I suppose there's barriers, there's real barriers, and then there are the barriers we put up in our minds, you know. So, and then we can have a combination of both types of barriers at times as well. So that's fantastic. And I'm glad you mentioned Emer Neve-Vereen. She works in the European Commission, and she, I think she, am I right, and she was Mentor of the Year as part of the DCU.
Yeah, she was. I was so delighted that she won it.
Yeah. And that's big kudos for you because you were her mentee, you know, so that's fantastic, you know. So, great. And our mentorship program, it's been going so long in DCU and, you know, it is really, really fantastic. And I think year on year, people are really, you know, seeing great value in it. And it's lovely then that you've actually continued your learning from your mentorship and it's shaped your final year. So that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what day trip now are you, you know, if perchance you do remain in Ireland or you get to go somewhere before you fly away this year, if that becomes your story, where would you recommend or what are you planning for this summer as a day trip? Anything that you'd recommend somebody to do?
So I know myself, if restrictions are lifted just within Ireland, I am planning on doing a nice little trip around the Wild Atlantic Way.
Oh, nice.
But I might take a couple of days off work to do that if I am working. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, there are so many amazing day trips, even in your local area. Mm-hmm. I know, like, I live in Wicklow and there's a beautiful, like, drive up to Glendalough, to Loch Tay, Kevin's Way. Particularly, I went down to Wexford, I went to Kilmore Quay. There's so many gorgeous day trips. And, like, even if you're willing to get up early and come home late in the evening, you know, a train brings you to most counties in Ireland.
That's very true. And I'm supposed to be good student rates as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, I have to ask you the question. You went to Kilmore Quay. Did you go for fish and chips?
Absolutely.
There's a great fish and chip shop.
It'd be a sin not to.
Oh, yeah. There's a great fish and chip shop down in Kilmore Quay. And I tell you, you have to queue. You do have to wait. It's like in normal times, it's about a 40 or 45 minute wait for your takeaway, but it's worth it, isn't it?
I know. The one across from the harbour, I think we're thinking of the exact same one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the one. Oh, yeah. If you're told it'd be 40 minutes, you're in the right fish and chip shop. Listen.
I know.
Eimear, it was an absolute pleasure, right? So you've your plans cancelled, you turned it around, as you said, you didn't find it easy, but you moved on, you got yourself together, you kind of said, right, I have my job, I have this time off, I'm going to make the most of it. You have a few ideas for this summer. You're going to see what way it lands for you and work on the opportunities then contained within. The big thing I heard from you is in around the languages and your mentoring, being part of DCU mentoring program and how that has actually shaped, and that will have a long-term benefit to you. Doing something so consistently in around languages only can but help you, even if it turns out it's only to go on holidays to, you know, to France or Spain, and having the joy of being able to converse with the locals. Anything that improves anything to do with our intercultural relationships with our nearest and dearest in Europe is really, really valuable. So listen, thank you so much, Eimear, for that. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much for having me.